Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory. And we always talk about the kingdom of God here. And what is that kingdom of God? It's the right to be ruled by God. We are supposedly having inalienable rights, and we're endowed by God, but we don't always get to exercise them or practice them because somebody else thinks they ought to rule over our lives. And sometimes they seem to have power to do it. And so the question is, how did they get that power? And what can we do to get the right to rule ourselves back again? I mean, how does this work? You know, the story of and history of mankind is the story and history of men going into bondage under one ruler or controlling influence or another. Now, it's really obvious if an army marches in. That's an obvious takeover. But it's the one that's a little more subtle and it's more complete because of its subtleness. Because in order for rulers to get power over you, men to have a rightful, not righteous, but a rightful power over you, you have to want to have power over somebody else. It's kind of like a con man. A con man, if he wants to deceive you or fool you or, you know, manipulate you so that he can take advantage of you, he appeals to the larceny in your own heart, you know, like you're going to get something for free, and all you have to do is this, this, and this. And because of your greed, he will use your greed to manipulate you into a position where he gains control. And, of course, we see this theme throughout history. We see it in stories, and Plato and Socrates talked about it. Of course, Samuel talked about it. And he explains that because the people wanted a ruler who could exercise authority over their neighbor and force their neighbors to do what they thought was right, they thought they'd elect a guy who was, you know, a pretty just-oriented guy, a pretty courageous guy, a guy fighting for justice. But we're going to give him extra power to set things right in our country. And they're warned that if you do this, he's going to take and take and take and take. He's going to make his instruments of war. He's going to take your sons and daughters. And when you cry out under his autocratic power and control, that God would not hear you. Now, what would happen if God did hear you? Could God arrange it that you be free again? Now, people think, well, why is all the countries in the world, the individual is actually losing more and more freedom? In some countries, you know, like some of the places in Mexico and El Salvador, etc., we see gangs kind of taking over and gangs even taking over the police and corruption. And if people don't like you, they literally kill you and get away with it because of the corruption in that society. What secured the streets in America if you go back in times? I mean, there were some wild towns in the early West, but the reality is most of the time, those towns were peaceful, and they were peaceful because the people maintained the peace. They took the law in their own hands because that's where the law was originally placed, in the hands of the people. And if somebody was abusing or taking advantage of somebody or brutalizing somebody, the community stepped up and said, no, you don't. People had to watch out for each other. They had to do what Jesus calls tend to the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith. To get the people to stop doing that is essential for tyranny to rise up in a nation. They have to get the people to stop tending to the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith, something Christ said you should do. And in order to do that, you have to disconnect the people. You have to stop them from forming the bonds and connections that connect them with the other people of society. And even though you're heavily taxed now to provide all these benefits, the real price you pay is that there's a separation taking place in your society, a separation of the individual, separation of communities and community members. Because in a system where it depends on faith, hope, and charity, and you have to contribute and you pick your ministers daily, not waiting 2 years, 3 years, 4 years for an election, but you do it daily, and they are taking care of the needy of your society, you are creating bonds based on shared values of caring about one another, loving one another. These instructions aren't for Sunday or Sabbath. These instructions are for every day. Israel was a government. Jesus appointed a government to the apostles. Even if you look up in the Black's Law Dictionary, the church is defined in Black's Law Dictionary, has been Black's 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th. It says the church is one form of government. And my explanation will be, as usual, completely different than most people's explanation because they have altered the way in which you view history.
Because we've lost these common values of neighbor helping neighbor and neighbors being there, I mean, how come everybody wasn't just starving to death back, you know, before Social Security, before welfare? We were actually still taking care of the needy of society. I mean, the streets weren't strewn with dead bodies of people who ran out of money. Somebody was taking care of them. And that was people. And those charitable events in the lives of people is what created those bonds of society. And, you know, when, you know, you hear the stories, you know, the band of brothers, when men were actually escaping from the hospital before they had recovered and sneaking back to the front lines to be with their buddies. That's loyalty. Where is that? Why is that there? Because they had hungered together, they had froze together, they had risked their lives together, and they had formed invisible bonds that stayed them through the war. And this is what you need in society. Now, hopefully you could do this without a war, but a war may be coming upon you whether you like it or not. Disaster may be coming upon you whether you like it or not. So the sooner you begin to start forging those bonds, and one of the things that gets in the way of doing that is you still think religion is what you think about God. And that is a tool to separate you. That's why there's 40,000 religious denominations. They all have become sectarian and divided. Virtue is required to be in a free society. Without virtue, you will not be free. Adam said it, Jefferson said it, lots of the early forefathers. Virtue is absolutely essential to a free society. If you want to be slothful, you should be under tribute. You will be under tribute. You will not be free. But if you want to be diligent in things of virtue, you might be able to be free. But you still will have to come together with others and exercise that virtue. And that's the state of nature as God intended us. Because we were made in the image of God, and God is a giving God. It is a forgiving God. It is a God of justice and mercy. We are FEMA, but when we say it, we mean faith, emergency, ministry, or auxiliary. But the real key is that we're learning. You know, there's actually been some toe-stepping. You know, if you're going to learn to dance and you get out on the dance floor, you're going to end up stepping on some people's toes. But if you don't take that risk, you'll never learn to dance. And the dance we're trying to teach you is the dance of liberty. How does that work? How does a society operate as a free society? And we've lost that skill. That's what made America great. And we've lost that, and that's why you're seeing America decline, just like Edward Gibbons wrote about the decline and fall of the Roman Empire. All the same things that happened back then are happening today. We need to start learning how to live in a free society. And I'll tell you one reason why. Remember Katrina? Katrina hit and there was all this chaos and the military couldn't help the people and the police were overwhelmed and people just had to start taking care of themselves. And there's stories of people working to take care of themselves and others and help one another. And they're amazing stories. Only a small number of people began to organize and to take care of themselves. These are the people that ought to be in a free society. And if they were working towards that, they would be even better at doing it. Practice makes perfect. Well, we don't want a hurricane every time we're going to practice this. You know, practice getting together as a society and forming those bonds again, which democracy disintegrates according to Plato, destroys according to Plato. Where these principles really begin to take root is in the day-to-day actions. So just talking about it is not enough, which is why we created the Living Network to help connect people so they can actually start learning the skills of liberty, learning how to interact with each other on small congregations of people that are working together to start to learn what it means to become the social welfare system of the people operating by faith, hope, and charity. That is the Corban that makes the Word of God to effect. That is what will set men free. This is what Christ was teaching. This is what Moses was teaching. This is what Abraham was teaching. But it's not what you're hearing about in the modern churches. So how do we form those bonds? Well, we do it day to day by the little crises that take place. This survival of the fittest that is supposed to be in nature, when it comes to man, the fittest are the virtuous. And there will be the survival of the fittest, but you have to apply this concept of virtue. If you don't turn around, if you don't gather together and start walking in that direction, the process never begins. I pointed out the prodigal son was taken into the house and forgiven in a feast and everything, not because he left the pig farmer that he worked for, that abused him and took advantage of him, not because he left that system, but because he was willing to go back to his father's house to be a servant, to serve in his father's house. And that's the attitude that we have to have. And that changes our nature. Virtue is, it is to be something of action. So you have to put what you're realizing into action. In order for the survival of the fittest to take place, which is the survival of the virtuous, you have to exercise virtue. And that usually means gathering together, because Israel, the church, all these were networks of people that gathered together to take care of the needs of society, take back their responsibilities, and they became free nations. And until you learn that, you will not be a free nation. And you can't learn that just by listening on the radio. You have to get involved. But we'll talk more about being a doer and what you can be doing when we come back to Keys to the Kingdom. Till then, peace on your house, and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.